As we go through in this month, several aspects of church life, it is my responsibility this morning to talk about our philosophy of ministry. And I want to be as practical as possible, but here's where we are. Our ministry philosophy is our understanding of how the church should function according to the New Testament, right? Our ministry philosophy is our understanding of how the church should function according to the New Testament. Now, some churches have rules of order and all that kind of thing. We don't have that. We try to base our practice on the New Testament, and what I will do this morning is try and explain our understanding. Different people have different understandings of what the New Testament says about church order, and God bless them. But this is how we approach it, and I hope it's helpful to us as we go through it. What I will try to do is to go through these six aspects of church life: the meaning of ministry, the goal of ministry, the mutuality of ministry, the structure of ministry, the variety, and the heart of ministry. All right? That's the plan. Here we go. First, the meaning of ministry. The most common term by far used of ministry in the New Testament are terms like diakone. I don't like to refer to Greek and Hebrew in this context for several reasons, but it's sort of a necessity at this point. Diakoneo, to serve, diakonia, service, and diakonos, you know what word we get from all that, right? That's where we get our word deacon. But of course, it's used much more broadly than we use the term deacon in our vernacular. So when you see these words, serve, service, servant, in the notes, that's what they're referring to. Not by my design, but because that's what the scriptures say. I didn't pick and choose. I searched for everything I could, and that's what came up. All right? So let's dive in, and here's the starting point. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. There's the word serve. You use whatever gift you have been given to serve. Now, guess what that means? You, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, have been given a gift. You have been given a gift, and you are expected to use that gift to serve others, to benefit others, to help others, to serve others, right? All believers, right? Bottom line, all believers are called to serve. That's where we begin. Then we have some situations that are perhaps a little more specialized than that. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says, I have become the church's servant. I just take that from the previous context. By the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Paul calls himself a servant of the church. He said, I've become a servant of the church, right? Paul and others were given a special commission to serve the church. But here's the ultimate example. You can't get any better than this. In Matthew, let me do that in a second. In Matthew chapter 20, after I set the context, the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, come to him and say, can we have James sitting on one side and John on the other side when you come into your kingdom? Wouldn't that be great? And the other disciples were a bit disturbed. And Jesus called them together. This is one of their first come to Jesus moments. He called them together and he said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And then this that I have on the screen, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as," listen to this, "just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The ultimate example. He came to serve. Ministry is serving others. Ministry is serving others. I was in Real Mexico the other day with a friend. Y'all aware of Real Mexico around the corner? Nice. If you can get a parking place. We went around twice. We went around several times. And the server there ministered to our needs, or maybe ministered to our wants. The server ministered to our needs. See, that's what service is. But you don't have to be called a server. You don't have to be called anything special to serve. And I look around on this body, and you know what I see? People who are anxious to serve, right? This people who want to serve. It's amazing and it's wonderful. I had a recent injury, and you know what happened? People came all around and wanted to serve me. If you ask someone to lead a class in this body, people are anxious to serve. If you ask someone to do yard work, they're anxious to serve. If you need to help someone who is in need, they're anxious to serve. If you need to provide for anyone who has, people are anxious to serve. See? That's ministry. It's all ministry. Ministry is serving others. Then we go to the goal of ministry and begin in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip people for works of service." To equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, I want to read that. I don't necessarily regularly use the ESV, but I want to read it from the ESV because listen to how it's put. "To equip the saints for the work of ministry." Hear that? It's the task of these who are gifted in these ways to equip the saints for the task of ministry. Huh? We're all supposed to minister. We all minister in different ways. We all minister according to any gifts that God has given us. But it's the task of these others to train in that ministry. I know today that a lot of churches have sort of handed off that job to Bible colleges and seminaries. They're supposed to train our people for ministry. Well, that's not exactly what, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm a graduate. But people, we're all supposed to be ministering All right? Now, here's the bottom line. The goal of ministry is to build up the body of Christ. The goal of ministry is to build up the body of Christ. When someone's in need, people step up and minister. They help to build up the body of Christ. When somebody has a physical need, a spiritual need, people step up and minister, building up the body of Christ. I'll expand a little bit on that in the next point. Here it is. The nature of ministry. Let me suggest to you three broad categories regarding the nature of ministry. And you could obviously divide it differently. The first comes to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. I have become, says Paul, right, a servant by the commission God gave me. All right? That's a special calling to ministry. That's a special calling. Some people have a special calling to ministry. So among us, we have Paul and Jesse, who have devoted themselves to the ministry of the church, right? That's their full-time job. That's a special call to ministry. But then, in addition to that, as I have said already, all are called to ministry, each of you, same verse, each of you, as I read before, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. We are all gifted to serve. What's your gift? Do you know what your gift is? I remember when I was a young man struggling with this, and my friends did too. We were all trying to figure out our place in the church, right? And there are various approaches to discerning what your gift is. And I'm sure that if you ask the Lord, he will show you through one of these means. All I can talk about is my personal experience. What I have found is try different kinds of ministry as you are given opportunity and see where you get a response. See where you have an effect. And then you will get some guidance toward what your gifting may be. God knows. And God has given, and God has designed, and we can discover what our giftedness is. So there is a special ministry of Paul and his associates, there's a general ministry of everyone, and then there is also service apart from giftedness. There is service apart from giftedness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's a wonderful description of this body, right? Encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. Whether it's through our table talk in the 9:30 session, whether it's through the embassy study groups, whether it's through the home groups, wherever, whether it's through conversation, things start around here a little before 9:30 on a Sunday morning and generally end about 1 o'clock. There are people around here until 1 o'clock talking, visiting, encouraging, helping. It's amazing. You know, you watch old movies about the old pastor in early days, stands at the back, goes to the back door after the sermon, shakes hands with everyone, they compliment him on the sermon, and he says goodbye. We don't do that. Nobody leaves. I have a friend who said, I used to come to church to be blessed. Now I come to bless. And again, I look around and I see there are some of you who are just like that. Paul describes the situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 like this, verses 20 and 21. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other. We need one another. We need to help one another. We believe in a shared ministry model. It is not one person standing up here as the pastor. We value that leadership, but there's a shared ministry. We believe in a shared ministry model. Sometimes sharing, as you can understand if you've been here for more than 2 weeks, there's a variety of people stand up here at 11:45. There is a variety of people who teach back there, lead the class back there at 9:30. There's a variety of people who lead different groups as we meet together to learn the word. So here's what it comes down to. Ministry is varied, and all are gifted to serve. All are gifted to serve. Now, ministry is not only to one another. We need to be careful, I think, not to miss this. Outreach is a part of ministry. Building up the body includes including others in the body. So outreach is part of that as well. We don't have very many organized outreach activities. We are anticipating one. There's a concert planned as an outreach. We have had in the past different kinds of outreach activities, but we don't have many. Many, though, among us reach out in different ways. And through individual witnessing, through evangelistic Bible studies, through work among refugees, through the Gideons, through all kinds of avenues that people reach out to others. And of course, we have a big emphasis on world missions, reaching out to the world beyond our context. Okay? So that's part of this. Ministry is varied. Fourthly, the structure of ministry. We do need structure. Each church has a model that they follow. This is an elder-led church. The terms in the New Testament are, as I understand it, there's the term elder, which emphasizes maturity. There's the term overseer, which is used more or less synonymously, which emphasizes responsibility and leadership. And then there's the term pastor, which emphasizes nurturing care. All right? So if the key passage that brings all these together is Acts chapter 20. In verse 17, watch the terminology. From Miletus, the port city, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. He felt himself at this point in great danger. He was not going to go up to Ephesus. He was stopped at Miletus, and he felt he was in great danger, and maybe he didn't have a lot of time with them. And so he sent for the elders to come and meet him. And then you come to verse 28, and we read this. He says to them, in addressing them, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Right? He's talking to the elders. He says, oh, the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd. That's the word pastor. Right? To shepherd the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So we have elder, overseer, pastor, used more or less interchangeably in this passage. Let me put it like this. The New Testament tends to present a picture of multiplicity of elders. That is more than one elder in a church, right? The word is kind of... I had never noticed this before. The word pastor is only used once. And maybe some of you can help me with this, but as I see it, the word pastor is only used once in Ephesians chapter 4. But obviously, the work of pastoring is portrayed in the New Testament. All right, moving on, our time is fleeing. Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in every church, right? They appointed elders in every church, right? Titus chapter 1. The reason I left you, says Paul to Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town, as I directed you. So apparently there were places where Paul was not able to appoint elders. Maybe the church wasn't mature enough or something. Anyway, he had Titus do that work. And then we come to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and we read this. This is Paul's greeting. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. So he addresses them, including the overseers. Now, what's the relevance of this to ministry? Well, I think that it's roughly like this. That some ministry is overseen by the elders. Some ministry in the church is overseen by the elders. There is some ministry that is individual, that people do on their own initiative under the guidance of God, and it would be certainly approved by the elders if they are aware of it. And then there is some that is outside the church altogether. There is ministry that's associated with the Gideons, with Christian businessmen, with what do they call InterVarsity now? Anyway, there are these ministries that are organized ministries outside the churches. But I think, and then of course there's individual ministry. So there's a great variety. There's a wonderful statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that goes like this. Listen to these words. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Do you know what that means? I don't know that I had ever really recognized that previously until I ran into Henry Blackaby. And Henry Blackaby taught me what that means. He applied that to the local church. And here's what he says. You are here because God wants you to be here. God has placed you here for some purpose. And God wants you to be here. Isn't that something? That's pretty heavy. I'm not saying God will never take you anywhere else. I'm just saying, don't think that you're here by chance. You are here under the purpose of God. All right? Moving along. Bottom line, ministry is usually, I say usually because obviously there are varieties, centered in the local church. All right? Point number five, the variety of ministry. The variety of ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God is fully invested in ministry. He gives different kind of gifts. He gives different kind of service. And he involves himself in all. God is fully invested in ministry. Look at this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the gifts. All these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The gift or gifts that you have are not accidental. They're distributed to you intentionally by the Holy Spirit. Right? Isn't that something? I don't care what your gift is. God gave it to you. And God expects you to use it in his service. Not a matter of birth. It's not a matter of training. It's not a matter of education or study. It is God designed. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 12, 22 and 23 and read this. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You heard that word? Indispensable. And the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. God's perspective is different from ours. The people who stand up here in the front and have prominence, they're not as important as some people whom you never see up here. Right? God has a different perspective. And so we can conclude this. There is a wide variety of ministry, some resulting from giftedness, but some just from kindness. You may be going around doing things that may or may not have anything to do with your giftedness, but they just come out of the kindness of your heart. All right? And then finally this, and we'll finish. Number six, the heart of ministry. And I'm only going to read two verses, and you know the import of them. And Jesse's already emphasized this in the earlier session. Excuse me. John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's the heart of ministry. The heart of ministry is not obligation. The heart of ministry is not pressure. The heart of ministry is love. If I have a God-given love, I will serve, and that's ministry. And then these words, which kind of draw a line for us in 1 Corinthians 13, if I express my gifts, if I speak in tongues, in the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If there's no love, there's nothing else. It's just a noise. I can stand up here and make a noise. I can stand up here and speak to you, but if there's no love in my heart, it's just a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. That's the heart of ministry. Ministry is the expression of love. I had hoped, I didn't say so beforehand, I had hoped to leave time for other comments or questions from you, but our time is really gone. This is how I think of our philosophy of ministry. I hope the other elders, I'm confident that they're in harmony with what I've said. I don't think I've said anything heretical. And we've talked about this. May God help each one of us to find our place in the ministry of the church, right? So that we can serve him as he wishes in the body of Christ for his name's sake.